So, sorry, so the whole mumble of the last lecture was to try to motivate or to tell you where this invariant at the end comes from. This the invariant is the log of the z of the previous time, and so computing it is the same as computing the z of the previous time, and I'm going to explain where the operations come from. So, okay, so m of t and h should be, well, I guess I have to tell you where I have to tell you where logarithms of elements here live. Logarithms live in the so-called primitives. So again, if you've seen these things before, then it should be completely familiar. If not, then you have to take it on faith. And the primitives are the connected diagrams. And again, if you've seen these things before, what I'm doing is completely standard. In fact, if you've seen quantum field theory, logs of the partition function is computed in terms of Feynman diagrams, and the log of the partition function is computed in terms of connected Feynman diagrams. It's exactly the same. So zeta should have values in these things made connected.
Log.
Zeta is log.
Oh, zeta. Okay.
Zeta should be valued in these things, but only the connected components. So there should be another metagroup, the log metagroup, or the metagroup of connected things, called M of T and H, and it should be trees and wheels. As it turns out, these are sort of easy, and these are sort of hard. So for pedagogical reasons, I want to start with just half the work. So I'll call it M1 half of T and H. And M1 half of T and H is M of T and H modulo wheels. So you kill the wheels. Or alternatively, it's just the trees.
But exactly the map from, so this log map, it's also all these white components here are removed, and then you close your yellow graph.
I don't close, I look at only connected components.
Exactly, you look
and
on
I only have to remember what skeleton component each tail was connected to.
Okay,
and
so
each
can
head.
You put some numbers on this tree?
Yes.
Okay.
Or not numbers, simply the labels. So if this was connected to component V, then I'll just have to remember that this was connected to V, this was connected to V, this was connected to V, this was connected to V. Okay? And here I have to remember that this is connected to X. So really, M1 half is, again, it's half the work. It's the easy half of the work. And what it is it's trees. Where the root is labeled by a head, so X belongs to the set of head, the set of hoops, and the tails are connected, are labeled U, V, W, maybe U again, and this belongs to the space of balloons. Okay? And again, this comes straight from the topology, it's forced. Well, except for I did a natural thing of forgetting half the work, but I'll go back to that half later. Yeah.
I would, the Lie algebra question, maybe you have the answer. If you have a Lie algebra, do you have kind of a maximal semi-simple part?
I don't know, and it's not, I have nothing to say about it.
Does anybody know? Do you know? If you have a Lie algebra, finite dimensional Lie algebra, say.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I think the answer is yes, but I think it's not relevant to what.
Let me finish. If you take a maximal semi-simple part and you quotient out the Lie algebra, what do you get? A nilpotent thing. Is that correct?
Or solvable, or
that's what you're doing. Because the wheels are your simple part. You're quotienting out by wheels, and you're left with the nilpotent stuff.
Possibly, but I don't understand it this way. Yeah. I have my own limitations.
But you
don't understand
the final diagrams with
the so, algebra, but right? That bit I don't understand. So, I'm sorry, Nathan. No. That bit I don't understand. So let me go on to what I do understand. Okay. So here is the formal definition. Oh, sorry. And final thing is, of course, I'm allowing linear combinations of such things. And what is the set of linear combinations of such things? Well, these are linear combinations of trees. Of course, this is all modded out by the remaining relations, so by the Jacobi identity. So trees modulo the Jacobi identities, it's exactly the Frehley algebra. So each such tree is an element of the Frehley algebra on the tails, but you have one tree for each pass, or you have also the head labels. So it's the Frehley algebra to the power h. Okay? So hence,
so it's
more
potent, right?
It's a Frehley algebra. It's not
the proportion out by the higher dimensions is more.
Anyway, so Nathan, this is not what I want to say.
I just was making my point. But the answer you just
but it's not what I want to say. So M1/2.
Okay.
M1/2 is basically the set of all assignments where for each head you get a linear combination of elements of the Frehley algebra with tails in the set T, in the set of tails, and well, and the head is labeled as the head that came from here. Okay? But now I have to tell you what are the operations. The operations are inherited from the operations here. And maybe I'll do that in a different order than here. So what's head multiply? Head multiply or hoop multiply, it should be to connect two H lines. Okay? So when I'm speaking in the language of A diagrams, it just means to put one diagram on top of each other. But in M1/2, each tree really represents its own exponential as an element of A. So each, whenever you have a tree, it really represents an exponential, not just itself. Okay? So how will I multiply two trees? Well, I don't know what to write it.
Multiply or take a bracket?
Multiply. So how do I multiply two trees? So I have, I have one tree, I have another tree. Of course, each tree is really a linear combination of trees. How do I multiply them? Well, each one of these is really stands for an exponential. So this stands for like a whole exponential. And this one also stands for the same thing, but with multiplicity, but sort of multiplied over. Okay? Then I put these side by side, and then I take the logarithm. So the multiplication is like taking the logarithm of the exponential of the first tree, multiplied by the exponential of the second tree. And this I want to rewrite in terms of trees. But that's what the BCH formula does. This is equal to alpha plus beta plus the bracket of alpha and beta divided by 2 plus more terms that nobody remembers. Okay? But I've computed it to degree 22 and I think I have the world record.
World record of
computing BCH. So therefore, head multiply is defined as follows. If you have lambda, lambda is an element of M1 half, so it's a sequence of trees, one tree for each head. Then you map it to, you remove the two trees that correspond to the components that got concatenated, because these components will not exist afterwards. But instead you have, you add a new element to the list, and this element is Z, labeled by Z, and it is the BCH product of what used to be the trees with root X with the trees with root Y. Okay? So at least this justifies head multiply. Tail multiply is even easier. Tail multiply just means, right, tail multiply was mentioned here. It's here. It was to merge two red lines, but really what it meant, you merge two colors. So you merge two types of, you identify two variables in the Frilly algebra. This commutes with exponentiation. So, and with taking the logarithm. So therefore, tail multiply is even easier. So you just take lambda, this list of trees, and every place you see a U or a V, you replace it by a W. Okay? And unfortunately, tail by head action, so the last one, is the hardest. So very, very loosely, where does, tail by head action I need to, this is the one I need to define, and well, it's lambda goes to, lambda to which you apply is, well, you know, it's only four characters or so, so it's not hard. But these characters represent a complicated operation. So let me explain what this operation is. Okay. So, here is here's my tree, or here's my element lambda. It has in it a piece like this, okay? But of course this piece is not on its own. This is the log of the real thing. So really you should be thinking that parallel to it, it's like when you look at the TV screen and the reception is not so good, so you have many, 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 many copies of this with exponential, with sort of 1 over the k factorial weight. Okay? Then, what do I do to it? I make a copy. So this is strand U, and I'm acting on it by strand X. I make a copy of strand X. So now I have a second copy of this, and half the heads, or not half, I sum over all ways of taking the heads and putting them either here or here. That's the associated gradient of doubling, of making a copy. But then I take the shadow copy and bring it to here. So the end result is that I take some of these heads, not all of them, some stays here, and some get appended to the bottom over here, as heads. Gee, but I wanted to get trees. This is out of my space, okay? But it's not out of A. So I need to use the relations of A to reduce it back to my space. So I need to bring each one of these to the top. Once I bring it to the top, it becomes zero. Okay, how do I bring it to the top? I have to commute it against all the things that appear. Well, I commute it every time I commute it against something, I use an STU and I get a thing like this. A thing, I get a vertex like this. Now, here I wrote the unlucky case, or the hard case, which fortunately we modded out by. Okay, but basically in the hard case, you end up commuting ahead against one of its own tails, and then you get the cycle, and you get a wheel, and the hard thing will be to count these wheels. But at the moment I'm modding out by wheels, so I don't need to count them. So this one didn't happen. But then I get this one here. But of course I get the sum of all of these. But then I need to do it again. And then I need to do it again. And then I need to do it again. And exponentials have this property sort of that, you know, the sort of defining property of exponentials is that the derivative of an exponential is exponential. So, you know, this is a list of x's, and exponentials have the property that if you take even one out of them, what you stay with is the same. So exponentials are the true Hilbert hotel. Like you take one room out, you have exactly, you're left with exactly what you are starting. So basically you repeatedly repeat, you just continue bracketing this way. And then, you know, after, so your original tree at some point got replaced by the original tree to which you have glued, that, right, effectively connecting a copy of the tree to itself will mean that you glue another copy of the tree near one of its tails labeled U. But then you'll have new tails labeled U, and again you might need to swap something over there. So you need to do it again and again and again and again. Okay? And then you'll get bigger and bigger and bigger trees. So, so this is what this operation stands for. This is what RC stands for. It stands for repeated conjugation of U by lambda x. So what you do is, you look at lambda. Lambda is a combination of trees. Every play, you look at all the U's that appear in lambda, and every U gets replaced by the substitution, U is replaced by U conjugated by an exponential of lambdas. Okay, sorry, so. But then you do it repeatedly. You do it more and more times. Okay? So, I'm sorry, this sounds horrible. And maybe it is horrible, but the inverse of this operation is actually easier. So, so let me describe the inverse. So, given any element gamma of the Frehley algebra, there is an automorphism of the Frehley algebra, which is defined by, sorry, given any gamma of the in the Frehley algebra and any generator U, there is an automorphism conjugate U by gamma going from the Frehley algebra to itself, and it's the automorphism in which you replace every place you see a U, you replace it by U conjugated by gamma, by e to the gamma, which really means this sort of infinite power series of adjoint actions. Okay? It turns out that repeated conjugation by lambda or by gamma is the inverse of single conjugation by minus gamma. Sorry, I don't know. There's something weird there, right? You would think that the inverse of conjugation by gamma will be conjugation by negative gamma. But that's not true. It's not even true. Okay, if you conjugate every U by a gamma, the inverse of that is not to unconjugate, because when you conjugate every U by gamma, inside gamma there are many U's. So you create new yous. And then if you unconjugate, you unconjugate also the new yous that were created, so you don't go back to where you started. So the inverse to a single conjugation is repeated conjugation. And in fact, the action of THA is not conjugation, but repeated conjugation. You conjugate, after you conjugate, new yous are created, you conjugate them, new yous are created, you conjugate them, and so on. Sorry, life is tough. But, you know, life is tough, but this is computable. This is all... it's arithmetic at the end. I think I'll... you know, maybe I'll just tell you that... that at the end there are, okay, sorry. So now I've counted the trees, but now I also want to count the wheels. Head multiply and tail multiply never created wheels. There was never an issue with that. The wheels are created when I do this funny procedure from before, and it closes on itself. So, and the combinatorics of that is extremely hairy. It's very difficult, because you see, you have these trees, you graft them on top of each other an arbitrary number of times, and then at the end, a head from here goes and connects to one of the grafts that you already put. Counting this is very, very difficult. And in fact, I failed to find the combinatorial formula for that for a long time. Okay? So I still don't know how to derive the formula from combinatorics. Okay? But it turns out that you don't need to derive the formula from combinatorics. It's enough to know that the formula exists. So the formula, there is a formula. So there is a formula for how many, for what wheels are created when you do this formula, this process. Call this formula J sub U of gamma. So this will be the collection of wheels that are created when you slide an exponential of gamma. When you do this process where gamma is this tree and U is the label on which you slide. Again, combinatorially I could not analyze what J sub U of gamma is. I still don't know how to do it. But I know it exists, and furthermore, I know that Z exists, because I constructed it with no effort whatsoever 2 days ago. So therefore I know that Zeta exists. So therefore I know that J satisfies all those blue identities, so all those axioms of, so not J, but the thing that will be constructed, when you add J to the previous operations, the result must satisfy these properties. So I don't know what J is, or I cannot evaluate it combinatorially, but I know that when I add it to the mix, so basically when I add J match wheels to the wheel part of the full thing, I know that that the result will satisfy the axioms. And then, you know, maybe I'll just show you my notes directly instead of copying them to the board. So basically, I know that after adding j, I will still have this equality. This implies an identity that j has to satisfy, and it turns out that j of the BCH of two things is equal to some other formula. And then by now I'm skipping details, okay? But then you take, this formula should hold for any element alpha and beta, but you take them to be proportional to each other. So you take one to be S times an element gamma, and the other one to be epsilon times an element gamma. And then the BCH of two things that are proportional to each other, all the brackets fall away, so you're just left with J of S plus epsilon applied to gamma is equal to some things. Then you differentiate it with respect to epsilon, and you find a differential equation that J has to satisfy. And the point is that when you think of epsilon as an infinitesimal, so when you evaluate J on something whose square is equal to zero, so when you know that this process will terminate after doing it once, J is actually easy to compute, and the result is this deep thing. So which can be given a formal definition, but not right now. So basically, you get a differential equation, and therefore, when you solve this differential equation, you get an integral, and J has some funny integral formula. Okay, in terms of this div, and div is doing this J process just once. So you take a tree and you sum over all possible ways of connecting its head to a tail labeled U, and then you get wheels by doing this. But you do it only once. Sorry, now I'm really I'm really telling a story. I know that I'm not giving the details. The details are written. Okay, I think the only thing I still want to say is that doing all of this, all of these formulas, sort of, the derivation might have seemed abstract, but the formulas at the end are concrete, and you can get concrete answers. And everything is implemented. I've written for myself a nice freely algebra calculator. So I have a calculator that implements all of these operations, and you can compute whatever you want. I'm sorry, I think I should stop because, well, it's 5 minutes to go, and let's